Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Well, we are experiencing technical difficulties, apparently. There's so much weird stuff going on. The NSA or CIA is trying to sabotage Paranormal Horizons once again. There's like multiple technical problems, and I don't know what's going on. But with that, I haven't been disconnected again. So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. We'll have to get Maria should be calling back here in a second. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is, as usual, we're just shooting from the hip. We don't have any plan because that's the best way we operate. But to start this off appropriately, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir. Maria Wilson Duff should be calling in again shortly. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, it's one of the things I'm very skeptical about, is haunted dolls. And as we always hear the stories of the haunted dolls like Annabelle and all these evil dolls. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit skeptical on the haunted doll thing. But before I start that, I'm hoping Maria will call back, and she still hasn't. But I don't believe in haunted dolls. I'm sorry. There are a lot of famous haunted dolls out there. That, like I said, Annabelle, and there's a bunch of others. And I found a list of haunted dolls that I kind of want to go through. And I'm curious as to what Maria, well, there she is. Let's see. Maria.
Hi.
Everything is so wacky with technology right now. What's going on?
I don't know. You and I were talking about food, and then all of a sudden I couldn't hear you anymore, and then I heard the show start, and then it told me, said, thank you for calling Blog Talk. Goodbye.
Why does that always happen, like, right as the show starts? It can't happen, like, a few minutes before. It's always like, I swear, there's somebody sitting at a desk in some government building somewhere, and they have this little red button that says, okay, let's disconnect the host right now.
Exactly. That's perfect description of what always seems to happen.
I wanted to talk about haunted dolls tonight, but since the beginning of the show got slightly discombobulated, I guess we can start anywhere. I got to get my brain straight now. Now I'm all wackadoodle. We don't have a guest. It's just Maria and I, and we're just gonna probably talk everything from haunted dolls to UFOs to kimchi to boiled potatoes. That's how it works on Paranormal Horizons when it's Maria and I. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Fritos, cheese, and beans. You've gotten me hungry because I've not had supper yet. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody out there is looking for inexpensive filling eats, you get the Frito scoops with barbecue baked beans or chili or whatever. Put some cheese on that, and that'll get you filled right up. Although I was telling you earlier, I feel kind of gross, and that I meant, you might feel gross after eating that. I think I do. But it's delicious.
Beans tend to kind of make you feel a little bit gross, but then after, you know, they kind of go through the digestive system a little bit, you're okay?
Well, let's hope so, because it's sitting like a brick in my stomach. But, I mean, I ate several hours ago. I don't know. I think I'm in a bean coma or something.
Okay, well, if you want to be in a bean coma, and then we'll get to paranormal stuff, I swear, but I've got to tell you this. Have you ever had 15 bean soup?
Interesting you should message. I have not had that, but I did used to make a killer 7-bean casserole. But I don't know if 15 beans. That sounds like a lot of beans.
Well, the best part about it, it's 15 different kinds, all the way to like butter beans down to these little bitty lentils. And you put it in a pot, and then you get a ham bone or jowl or whatever it is that you want to cook with. Joel bacon. I call it jowl, joel, whatever, wherever you come from. Put that in there. And, of course, cook it low all day long. And then, right before you're ready to eat it, while it's still kind of simmering, open up a can of Rotel and dump in there. And then get some of the kielbasa or the smoked sausage and slice it up and put it in there and let all that get good and warm. Oh, yeah. It's good enough to make you want to slap your mama.
My mama's real old. I'd probably kill her.
Yeah, mine too. So we won't slap her mamas, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But what got you onto the haunted doll thing?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something to talk about last night. The last time, last show, we talked about, what did we talk about? I think I'm having a series of mini stroke. Oh, I'm not depressed. I'm happy.
Okay.
I can't remember what we talked about. But I thought it would be a good subject to, maybe I'm a little depressed. Hold on. I need to go cry in the corner right now. life is so overwhelming. I can't deal with it. All the government's trying to assassinate me. They're spying at me with their X-ray satellite vision right now. It's too much. Oh, Lord. I don't know. Haunted dolls always an interesting subject to me because I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I just don't think ghosts haunt objects. I think that's ridiculous. Somebody needs to
attach themselves to material objects that they loved in life?
I don't. I mean, of course, and I've said this a billion times before, just because I don't believe it doesn't make it so, but I just, no. I'm really, really skeptical on that one.
Okay, so what do you think about voodoo dolls?
I think if somebody is made aware that they've had a spell put on them, that they're creating their own reality in their mind and creating negative happenstances. So if I say, oh, I got a voodoo doll and I'm going to do this to it, I think it's we're generating our own reality. The victim's probably creating... misadventure because they know that somebody is casting a spell or using a voodoo doll. I don't know whether it works if somebody's not aware of it, perhaps. I mean, anytime you put that kind of energy out there, but I'm really skeptical on that one.
Well, I've got a voodoo doll, so why don't you send me some of your, you don't have hair anymore. You shave your head. Send me a piece of your clothing or something of yours, and let's find out.
Well, I'm not crazy. Wait,
come on, Jason.
Can you do it like a voodoo thing where I become ridiculously wealthy?
No, doesn't work that way.
Like, just dump a bunch of cash on a voodoo doll and it'll like bring me fast wealth?
You just blow it.
That's true. It is true. Fancy cars. Yeah.
You just blow it, so, and then you would be broke again. A lot of times the spells that are casted, they don't last long. Or if you cast a spell and then it doesn't turn out exactly the way that you wanted it, then you've got to deal with it until it's worn out.
So you're saying spells, they wear out over time or lose energy?
Yeah. Yep, they do.
I don't know. I'm skeptical. Do you have any, first-hand accounts of people that have had curses or hexes put on them? Where their lives kind of went south?
No. Not really, because a lot of times if you're dealing with somebody who may have had a hex put on them, you can't prove it, because a lot of times they don't know who just put the hex on them. So it's not like you can just call up that person and go, hey, by the way, the spell, the hex, the curse, whatever you just put on this person, give me some detail so I can figure out how to stop it.
It kind of reminds me of all those things in Hawaii, you know, where you take, like, the rocks off the island and then you have all this bad luck, so people mail the rocks back.
Okay, so I've got a story about that.
Okay, yeah, shoot.
My parents went to Hawaii, and they told them that. Don't take lava rocks home. Leave them here. Don't take them for souvenirs. Well, my mother picked up a handful of them, and she put them in her suitcase. And, of course, they were doing this travel and tour thing. It was a group travel. And I think they left. She couldn't find the camera. They'd lost the camera. And I think they went a day or two. Still couldn't find the camera. They had called the hotel because they had left that place. Nobody had turned it in. So she dumped the lava rocks out, and she went back to the hotel room and found her camera.
Couldn't that just be, like, random?
Well,
maybe?
She'd lost it at one hotel. They traveled to another hotel, and she found it in the hotel room that they had just gotten to.
That's like some weird glitch in the Matrix sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so let me ask you about the Bell Witch. Have you ever heard about the story of the Bell Witch?
I've heard a little bit on it. Isn't that what, like, the Bell Witch or the Blair Witch was based on? Or I could be totally off base on that one. No.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
But off the top of my head, I think I saw a documentary, but I don't remember anything about it.
Well, you could have, because there was one done on A&E, and it was called Cursed Bell Witch, and there's a gentleman. The story surrounded a gentleman who, throughout his family history, all the males in his family have carried this curse from the Bell Witch, and their lives have ended young, and all of them have, I don't remember the reasons why they all died young, but anyway, so he was in search. He's got a son now, and he's in search of trying to figure out how to stop this curse, to do investigations with hook up with different people. So anyway, but yes, the Bell Witch, if you go down into the Bell Witch Cave, and it's here in Adams, Tennessee, it's not very far from me. And if you take rocks home from that cave, there's been many people who have mailed those back, because horrible bad stuff happens to them. And then when they mail the rocks back, everything's A-okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm skeptical. I mean, bad things happen to bad people all the time, so it's easy to say, oh, well, some bad things are happening. It's because I took a rock from a cave.
Well, it's like paranormal. It's like paranormal stuff that's happening. It's not, like, just bad stuff. It's paranormal that goes on. So they send the rocks back, and then everything's okay.
Well, like, you know, just because I don't believe it, you know, doesn't make it real. I could be wrong. Maybe I'll just have to take a trip to Hawaii, steal a bunch of rocks, and see what. It'd be an interesting experiment. We should do that. We should do a show. Although I can't really afford to go to Hawaii, and I don't like to fly, so probably not going to happen.
You'll be all right. Thank you, a cruise. from Oregon to Hawaii. There you go.
Ooh, a cruise? Hey, they have gambling on a cruise, right?
Yeah.
I'm there. Nothing is more exhilarating than sitting in front of a fruit machine, pressing the button, and winning money.
Or losing it.
Or losing it. Hey, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's even fun to lose it.
Yeah, it is. Slot machines are fun. Let's see, what other haunted objects can you think of?
Well, I got a list of haunted dolls here. I don't have to go through all of them, but here's one that gives you chest pain.
Nice.
Yeah, well, there's a doll named Peggy who, she received this doll, this paranormal researcher, and the note she got with the doll said the name was Peggy and that she was haunted, and the person that received the doll posted a lot of photos and disturbing videos of Peggy online. She soon received letters and emails from people who saw the photos and videos and claimed Peggy was causing them to experience nausea and intense migraines. The person that received the doll, shortly after receiving it, suffered a heart attack.
Woo!
So, yeah. They're saying that a medium said that the doll is possessed by spirits of people who died in the Holocaust. And I'm looking at a picture.
Oh, my gosh.
It just looks like a doll.
That's horrible. Well, you've heard about Annabelle.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the most famous doll in the world.
Yeah. Well, do you think that that's not true?
I don't. Now, if I had, if I had the opportunity to have Annabelle, would I feel completely comfortable with it? No, but that's not going to happen. So, but my point is that just bad things happen all the time to everybody, and to attribute it to a haunted doll or a haunted item, I mean, that's just an easy thing to do, but it's the world around us, and bad things happen.
But, there's a lot of the cases that I've investigated that they send, they tell all about the activity that's going on in their home. And when you sit down with somebody and you have a list of questions, that even includes, are you on medication, health problems, mental problems, things like that.
So something.
And also, do you have mental problems? Yeah.
Something hilarious just occurred to me. So I've got this list of all these haunted doll pictures on my computer, and I told you I don't feel very good. I actually feel kind of nauseated. I feel gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, I have this picture of this Peggy doll on my computer. Maybe that's why. Or maybe I just ate some bad beans.
It's easy to say several hours ago.
But yeah, it's easy. Well, that's true. But I'm not going to say it's because I have the Peggy doll on my desktop.
Okay, well, take Peggy doll off, and then maybe you'll feel better.
I scrolled down, so I don't have to see it.
Okay. But there's times that during the investigation, we'll ask, have you brought any new furniture into the house? Have you been to an antique store and bought anything? And there's been times where it's like, yes, I bought whatever the object is. And then it's like a light bulb goes off in their head. That's about the time that this started happening.
And we've
run into that before.
And then what happens when they remove the object and everything's fine again? I mean, is it that black and white?
Pretty much, yeah, it is. But see, that's the thing. When they bring, a lot of times when people bring antique furniture home, things like that, in the furthest thing from their mind is that they have just bought a haunted object. They don't think about
right.
it. You go to, see, I work with state sales a lot, auctions, things like that. So there's times that I'll see a pretty piece of furniture or a vase or something like that, or and I'll buy it. And I've not had that problem yet. But I don't buy it and then think, oh, I hope that wasn't the deceased favorite object and they decided they're going to come home with me.
And now you can get on eBay and buy haunted objects.
Yes, and how crazy is that?
Do you want a haunted Dybbuk box or a haunted doll? I'm sure there are people out there that go around and find old dolls and say, oh, this is haunted here. This pay $300 and you can have yourself your own personal haunted doll and create backstories. People taking advantage of it, I'm sure.
Oh, Lord, yes, you know they do. Because people are crazy enough to buy it. The smart thing to do would be to find a priest and say, here, take this. And keep it from coming out of its little doll cage. keep it. But why they get attached to it, I don't know. Other than somebody loving a material object in life, and then if it bothers them that bad to be parted from it, I guess they would try to stay with it. I don't know how, something gets inside of a doll and stays there.
If I die,
they're trying to use it for a Trojan horse or something. I don't know.
So I'm really attached to my personal computer. So if I die, I'm probably going to haunt it.
Oh, well, then it really won't work then.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it.
Well, tell me why I got little angry faces from you after I sent you the picture of the aliens.
Because aliens are scary.
That you've had bad dreams, I'm sure.
I actually haven't had any bad dreams about aliens lately.
Well, good.
But it's one of the few things that, like, freaks me out, I don't know. It's just like... the most scary thing ever.
Well, how much scarier do you want this to get tonight?
Oh, we can make it scary. I'm not by myself tonight, so I'll be okay.
Okay.
There's a couple other people in the house, so if things get too weird, wacky, or scary, I'm not alone. It's just when I'm alone,
okay,
when the lights are off, and I start hearing weird... at night when I'm alone a lot, and then I start hearing like a small child talking, but I don't have a small child, then I get nervous. And then of course the aliens show up. Little ghost girls and aliens, yeah, not cool.
Okay, so we have this a lot.
We have what a lot?
You have that a lot. You hear children
speaking,
and then the aliens show up.
No. Oh, if I did, I wouldn't live here. I'd be, nope, see ya, bye.
Well,
all I can think about is the movie The Ring, which when that came out, I didn't freak me out, but it was like, it weirded me out. The girl crawling out of that television screen.
Oh, you'll have a dream about that tonight, I guarantee.
Tomorrow. Yeah, and unfortunately I have a giant television, so, and it's not far from my bed, so Samara's not going to have to work very hard to get me to me. She's going to have to crawl all of like 4 feet.
Oh, yeah, and see, tonight you'll
feel
a little phantom something sitting on your bed. You'll feel it walking across it.
Well, fortunately for me, I won't be alone in my bed. So if there's movement, I'll probably just think it's my companion.
Well, there you go.
But if I'm ever alone and I feel somebody sit down on the dead, I'll tell you what, the first thing I'm doing is I'm rolling over. I'm grabbing either my Beretta or my .38. Start shooting and ask questions later. And then if I'm really feeling sporty and I'm really feeling that there's a paranormal threat in the room, I'm running to the closet and I'm grabbing an AR-15 with a 30-round magazine, and I'm gonna make that ghost my bitch.
Guns are always the answer, aren't they?
That's right. Hell, if I was a ghost and some guy comes out with a combat rifle, I'd be scared.
No.
Take that. Pow, 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 pow.
You're hilarious. Well, anyways, I went to this convention this weekend, or conference, call it conference. And it's called True Legends. And there was more alien, UFO, Nephilim, hybrid, seating, all this stuff for 2 days. And it was amazing. And it's incredible. It's all the stuff that you and I know. We already know. But it's all put together so wonderfully by each different speaker, and then each speaker seemed to take it to a whole different level. And I didn't get to see all of the speakers, but do you ever listen to Dan Quayle or L.A. Marzulli?
Dan Quayle, like the guy that ran for president?
Not Dan Quayle. Why did I say Dan Quayle?
Why is Dan Quayle on your mind? That's a weird.
Well,
that's
because I've been reading all this.
Or paranoia.
I've been reading all this crap on all this political crap on Twitter here lately, and I'm like losing my mind. It's Steve Quayle.
Oh, is Dan Quayle even still alive?
Yeah, he is. Bless his heart. But I've been reading all this stuff about the two that come together to get rid of Trump, and if Obama was involved, and then the IG, just all this stuff. So yeah, my mind went straight to Dan Quayle because that's political. But anyway,
you're gonna write
Steve Quayle.
No, I've never heard of him.
Well, I'll just go straight to him because he was like the main speaker. This is a conference that they have a lot. Now, L.A. Marzulli, you need to listen to him. I don't know if he's on YouTube or not, but I know you can catch him on KGRA Radio. Steve Quayle, you can find a lot of his stuff on YouTube. But one of the things that he was talking about, and I immediately thought about you and Sherry, was he was talking about the Cascadia. And how dangerous that is, and they're not telling anybody. The government is not telling how dangerously close that is to exploding.
You're talking about the Cascadia subduction zone?
Yes.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're not telling anybody about it.
Yeah, they're expecting, they could tell when the last major massive megathrust earthquake was through geology, and they're saying that thing's been past due to pop, you know, but they're saying the same thing about Yellowstone erupting too, so who knows. But yeah, that's like major.
But they're not telling the rest of the world anything about it. Where you are has a 1 in 7 chance of blowing, where Yellowstone has like a 1 chance in however many hundreds of thousands of going.
Wait. 1 in 7 annually or every 100 years, or what are we talking?
In like the next 10 years or something, they're expecting it to just blow.
Well, that would suck because the city of Portland is all interconnected with bridges, and those will be torn up. And imagine the coastal regions would be nailed with massive tsunamis. It'd be a world. I mean, it would affect all parts of the world, or at least the Pacific, all the countries along the Pacific, Japan, Hawaii, massive tsunamis. And because I think those megathrust earthquakes we're talking 9+. Like potentially earthquake, but larger than any that's ever been recorded.
right. Well, they were even talking about it could be possibly a 12, which isn't really on the scale at all. But this is how bad it would be. And one of the reasons that they're looking more at it than what they used to is a lot of those, because there's so many volcanoes that people don't realize that are in that area, and there's cities built just right down below them, like Mount Rainier. Of course, Mount St. Helens blew in, what was that, 1980, I think. Then you've got the Three Sisters. Then you've got all of those beautiful mountains that are covered in snow are potentially dangerous volcanoes because dormant.
Mount Hood, too, which is the one that's really
Mount
close
Hood.
To me. And Mount St. Helens, which is really close to me as well, too.
Yes. And but what they're talking about, and I have noticed it, every once in a while, there's a few things that I look at online, and some of the smaller ones will release steam every so often. And these were not active volcanoes in the past. They're just kind of awakening. But they're not doing anything major. They're not big enough to freak people out. It's just something that's going on. You might want to keep an eye on that. But anyway.
Well, that's wonderful because I work in an old hospital, which I'm fairly confident if there's a significant earthquake, and not only do I work in an old hospital, I work in a basement, so I'm toast. Any way you look at it, I'm toast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to turn into a pancake.
Yeah,
or be trapped in the rubble for 20 days. With a leg that's crushed and be miserable until I finally die of thirst or starvation.
Dehydration.
Yeah, well, I work in a laboratory, so if that happens, I might be able to live off people's blood, you know, opening the blood tubes and drinking the serum and stuff.
There you go.
But that'll run out eventually, and I'll just die in agony. Thanks for freaking me out. That's great.
You're welcome. I told you this night was just going to get worse for you.
I know. If I start breathing heavy, it's because I'm having a panic attack. Or it could be because I'm looking at haunted dolls. Or I could be having a panic attack about haunted dolls.
You said you were looking at Peggy, but you weren't having chest pains. You were having bloating from your beans. So you're good.
Or the spirit of the doll somehow penetrated my monitor and got inside my soul and is eating me away psychically, causing gastrointestinal problems. Oh God, I think I gotta go to the toilet. let's broadcast from the bathroom.
Yeah, you can poop out the demon that's just crawled into your soul.
Give a play-by-play.
Yeah. But a lot of these speakers at this conference, and they dealt with, they've had hands-on with these ancient skulls and these giants that they're unearthing that they're not telling anybody about. They're just not, I don't know why they've decided to take the giants out of the Smithsonian and hide them, other than the fact that they're coming back for us.
So the Smithsonian had giants and they're hiding them?
The skeletons of, they did, years ago. I mean, I can remember seeing the picture on the front of it, either Newsweek or Time magazine. And it was a man and a woman that were standing beside an upright display case of a giant. Black and white photo. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And then they weren't there anymore.
Well, it just so happens my uncle was a bigwig executive at the Smithsonian, so I should call him and ask him if they were giants or what the giant situation is.
Yeah, find out where they are. Where did they ship them to? Why are they hiding them?
When we're talking about giants, what are we talking, like 9 feet tall? Are we talking like 20 feet tall?
Yes, we're talking about 16 foot to 21 foot giants.
Oh, I find that incredibly hard to believe.
It really is, but I mean, and what they're connected to is the they call it, they're fallen angels. They call them the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they are. And for some reason, they were on display, and you used to read stories about them and things like that. But that got completely wiped out of our culture. They completely removed all of them. And it's just the strangest thing ever. And I don't know the reason, don't understand it. I mean, it's a part of history. But it's probably because it's connected to the Bible that they've taken it away. Of course, these fallen angels weren't, I mean, they weren't good after they got here. I mean, their mission was to take over, you know, mate with the humans and have their own hybrid running amok on the earth. So you're looking at, and of course, they were cannibals as well.
So the giant Nephilim are fallen angels, like from heaven? I guess that would be the only angels.
Yeah. They're ones that decided to come to Earth to take the women.
Now, the science-y side of me says it wouldn't surprise me if there were so-called humanoid giants. Because, while I'm not an expert, through the course of evolution, there have been documented cases of species of animals that are really large. For example, a mammoth, when there were some mammoths that got landlocked somewhere where the food wasn't so abundant, and what happened over time is they actually like turned into mini mammoths, you know, over the course of thousands of years, because the environment couldn't sustain their large body. So it wouldn't surprise me if things were plentiful tens of thousands of years ago, if humanoids weren't actually larger. But that, I know of no information on that. That's just my own thought. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Right. Well, I mean, there's no way that a human could be that big. I just don't see that happening in all of our human history, that, you know, in the elongated, with elongated skulls. They have elongated skulls as well, and they weren't banned, because I know there's a tribe somewhere that does that. They do the banding on the skulls to elongate them so that they would resemble the Nephilim.
Now, if they were angels, wouldn't that make them immortal? I mean, when I think of an angel, I think of, like, an entity or something.
They kind of still had their supernatural powers somewhat, because they are angels. They weren't, but once they left God, they're not immortal anymore. They took that human form. But these skulls also, you know how you kind of have a cradle cap, you know, when you're born, and the top of your head's all kind of mushy. And
yeah, I got a big dent in the top of my head. What does that mean? Does that mean I was dropped
human
as a baby?
Probably.
Does everybody? I got a big dent in the back of my hand, and I got a big bony protrusion on the back. And I'm big.
It
Maybe I'm a Nephilim.
It could be that you weren't turned while you were laying down so much, and it never
That's
did fill back out.
I'll have to talk to my parents about that. I probably was in a crib and had my head pushed up against one of the crib bars or something, and it dented my head.
Could be. But, yeah, but those skulls don't have that. I mean, it was solid. So they never had that cap. It's something that you need to look into if you really want to have nightmares.
Well, why would it give me nightmares? Fallen angels, skeletons? Something that'd be scary.
Well, because they're still around, actually. They're more down around, like, New Guinea and places like that, those little small islands.
Oh, it just so happens that my former wife's family goes to New Guinea all the time, and I have a house there. I should ask them.
There you go. Maybe that's why she's your ex. There was something wrong with her. So, yeah, you picked up on that, and you're just like, oh, I'm out.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I have to say I'm skeptical on the whole Nephilim thing. I don't know.
Well, honey, it's in the Bible. I know, you know, I mean, you can read
well,
that. Of course, anybody that's not religious or
I'm not religious.
Follows that.
Yeah, I'm not too versed on the Bible. Interestingly enough, though, I've been to Jerusalem and Nazareth, so, but I'm not into the Bible. In fact, I, on a side note, in the Bible in Israel, my stepmother sent me some pictures when I was a child, and there are pictures of me in Israel and Jordan, which is pretty interesting.
Do you remember any of it?
Vaguely. I remember, you know, this was back in the 80s. And one of the things that sticks out in my head is, you know, like when you're driving around here in the States, you might see a broken down car on the side of the road. But back then, when you're driving to Israel, you've seen up like blown up armored personnel carriers and tanks on the side of the road. And everybody's carrying guns. It's like you go to the zoo and there's like army dudes with Uzis. But I'm sure it has not changed, actually, now that I think about it. But no, I haven't. I don't know what to think about the Bible. I think it's been prostituted by Charlemagne or not, whoever, Constantine, and I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Well, the sad part about it is that a lot of it, I mean, it's been translated by man.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, and then a lot of things have been left out, but I mean, it's the thing, you know, I mean, when you read through it, and it is hard to understand, it's hard to grasp, because you're reading stories that men wrote after Jesus was born and had already died, so then they write their stories. So it's kind of hard to wrap your head around some of it. And, of course, is the translation true? No, not on all of it. So it's kind of rough for people to understand it.
And it's a hard read. I've tried. I do find reading Revelation interesting, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I said it before, I think we're on a one-way path to the end times. I know people say that through centuries and whatever. You know, I know there's all these preachers that come up with this date and it doesn't happen, but I think something big's going to happen. And I'm really hoping it's not the Castigadia subjection zone or something like that. I'm telling you, the Northwest is due for something. The last thing that happened here of any significance was the floods in the 90s, which were really, really bad. And but this area up here is due for something, and if it's going to be that megathrust earthquake, then I mean we're talking. You think about Hurricane Katrina and all that, and all the nightmare that happened with that, with the people down there. This would be next level. This would blow that out of the water. I mean, you're talking about the whole coastal West Coast being in huge trouble. Japan would be in trouble. It'd probably. Well, I hope they figured out the whole reactor thing at Fukushima and figured out the backup generators over there, because it would send a massive tsunami that way. It would just be a nightmare. No one would be able to go anywhere because the bridges would be down. And they're in ill repair up here in the Portland area. So, yeah, makes me, maybe I want to get some cans of beans and some bottled water or something just in case it happens.
Yeah, get out of the basement.
Yeah. You know, I'm not too worried at home. The basement at work, yes, because I'm going to have three stories of heavy reinforced concrete smushing me into human pudding. But at work or at home, it probably won't be so bad. I'm in the basement at home, too, but, you know, there's not as much above me.
No, that's true.
The house I'm in is older and made of, like, real wood, which has some flexibility. And it's single story versus new construction these days, where they're making stuff with press board and, yeah.
Well, that's, like, around here, the New Madrid fault. We've not had anything out of it. Gosh, what was it, 1811? And when it went, Churchville, I thought it was as far north as just Pennsylvania, but it was Churchville's rain up in Massachusetts. So when the center of the United States shook, the whole kit and caboodle shook.
Hmm.
But it was several days of earthquakes. It wasn't just one big one. Of course, back then, you know, you didn't have all of the bridges like we've got now. Things like that. I mean, a lot has changed in 200 years. But they had the big major earthquake, and then they had several aftershocks past that were just as big as the initial quake. But we do have activity that happens up and down that fault line. But they did say that if that we have another big earthquake, Memphis, Tennessee will be gone.
The sky is falling. It's the end of the world. It's coming.
That's right.
So where's the safest place? I'm assuming Denver would probably be safe, you know, because all the secret bases under Denver Airport, allegedly.
Oh no. Trust me, there's underground military bases everywhere. And they are like 18 stories down. And they're everywhere. Denver is just one.
It's big business now too. I was reading some stuff and watching some documentaries on, you know, private companies buying these old Nike missile silos and outfitting them for luxurious living, you know, underground. Of course, it's horribly expensive, but people can have a bug out bunker. And it's good, like, I mean, we're talking indoor pools, you know, air conditioning, plasma screens. I mean, you're like, the whole wall, you could change the scenery, you know, it's crazy. But, of course, you have to be rich or powerful, rich and powerful. And the normal folk, such as myself and you, you know, we're just going to be fed to the wolves because we don't have the acumen to survive.
We don't have that. That's right. We're not part of the shadow government and the elite and things like that. But, you know, they spend our money, our tax money, like crazy. And they're building all of these underground bases, and they're getting ready for something. They've always have been. But, I mean, if you hide stuff underground, it's a whole lot easier to get away with I can't use that word, with the stuff that they're doing, the bad stuff that they're doing. They're hiding it from us. I mean, it's a whole lot easier than doing it in a sky rise where somebody could, you know, blow up that building or something. You don't know it's an underground base. You can't blow it up.
And large organizations, you know, these large, rich organizations like the Mormon Church have their own bunkers and and stuff where they store archives and you know, it's not just the government. I mean, if you've got money and you're a large organization, they're going underground. Why is everybody running underground? Something must be in the works. They must know something. Or maybe
well,
not.
I mean, there's a whole lot more underground that they can do. That plus they can hide it a whole lot easier. I mean, if you have one way, one or two ways in to an underground base, and it could look like a little tiny shack out in the middle of anywhere, and then you've got 300 acres of buildings up underneath the earth, you can hide that very well. And some of the stuff that they're doing is just crazy.
What's the name of that hotel? That grand hotel that was exposed 20, 30 years ago, that they had the bunker under the hotel for Congress, and like it, you know, it was in plain sight, and nobody knew there was this massive bunker for the administration, and now some news people exposed it, so of course you can have tours of it now. What's the name of that place?
Oh, I know what you're talking about because I watched a show on it, and they still wouldn't show you the whole thing.
Yeah, I got to look it up now. But they hit it in plain sight.
Here comes Jason. Yes.
Yeah, watch out. And they never used it. It was, the Greenbrier Resort.
Yeah.
In Virginia, White Sulphur Springs, Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. They had the dang bunker in there. They had false walls, like in the ballroom, and you move the wall, and then there's the giant blast door. How crazy is that? That's kind of smart, actually, to hide it, you know, in a big hotel.
Well, it is, and it also shows you what they're capable of doing, and nobody knows about it. So,
I mean, you can only
build something 18 stories down into the ground, and nobody knows anything. Can't see anything. You can't hear anything that's going on. It's pretty amazing.
I bet there's places like Men in Black, you know, where he just walks in this nondescript building and then takes an elevator way down. I bet you they have stuff like that in the city. These secret bunkers, you know, you just walk into a building, it looks like a hotel or whatnot, go in a special elevator. Next thing you know, you're 20 stories underground in a nuclear-proof facility.
Exactly. That's true. You know, and another one of the speakers that was there was George Knapp. And I know you've listened to him. He's coast to coast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, but he was talking again about the Skinwalker Ranch. And he was telling the story from the day that the family that bought that place before Bigelow, of course, they sold it to Bigelow. And everything that went on there. And then, of course, Robert Bigelow buys it, and he brings in, he's a billionaire, he brings in all these scientists, physicists, cameras, everything like that. And the things that happened at that ranch, you remember the movie Predator?
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Okay. All right. You remember how that thing looked? When you could see it move, when he had a fire or something and it shimmied through it, is the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, it's some sort of like optical camouflage that mirrors the environment around you. So you're only able to detect a slight shift as you move or as the predator moves, kind of thing.
Yes. Well, that was observed at Skinwalker Ranch. Dog man. I know you've heard about a dog man. They've been observed there. There was what they were talking about, a bulletproof wolf that greeted that family the day that they moved in. That was an incredible story. And then also the different things that happened to their cattle. Like, they had four of their bulls in this corral in a pen, and they left and came back in like in 30, 40 minutes, and the bulls were gone out of that corral. And so they got out, and they were looking for them, and they found them in a tool shed that had wire wrapped around the handle. That's the way they always kept that door shut, and you could tell it had not been opened, but, you know. But they had put all four of those huge 1,500-pound bulls in this tiny shed. And they were like in a trance. But whenever the door got open, of course, they come out of their trance and they just tore that building down to get out of it.
So when you're telling me this story, this is what I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning a cloaked UFO with a couple of gray aliens that are laughing and saying, oh, let's mess with these humans. Let's teleport these bulls into this shed. Let's get
exactly.
a good laugh out of it.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of that stuff, they did trickster things like that. Like, she would go to the grocery store, come inside, put all of her groceries up, walk out of the room, come back into the room, and all of her groceries were out of her cabinet, put back in the sacks. She would take a shower and leave her, she would put her robe and a hairbrush and lay it down, and she would take her shower, and when she got out of the shower, you know, she locked the door, she had kids, but the hairbrush she found in the freezer.
So these are stories. Is there any evidence to substantiate any of this? I mean, if I had a property like that, I would have motion-activated cameras, like, everywhere. I'd be getting some of this stuff on tape.
There's a lot of witnesses. There is some video evidence, not a lot, because it's like they know. It's like the cameras are here. We're going to go over here. And they mess with them all the time, and there's just a lot of things that would happen in the orbs that they would see, the red, blue, and orange orbs. The blue ones, whenever you got to see them enough, it looked like just this great big ball, and inside that ball was like that there was a milky liquid flowing inside of it. And it would make their dogs cower at it. They wouldn't move. They would just cower down. One of them reported that it's the orange one. Whenever you looked inside of it, it's like you could see a whole different world. So, like, if it's dark here now. So if one of these come up and slowed around you and you looked at it, you would be able to see a completely different, say, daylight sky with birds flying through it.
Where's the ranch located?
It's in Utah. And it's not just that ranch. It's the areas around it as well. I mean, and they would even hear things like heavy machinery running underground is what it would sound like up underneath their feet. Mm. But Bigelow bought it, and he did a huge study with it. He had people there that saw things that they could not understand, explain at all with the science.
Wild. Well, we should take a trip out there.
Yeah, you just go right ahead, Big Daddy, because whatever goes on there follows you home.
Well, we don't want that. I don't want any weird. But it would be interesting. They should,
well, the sad part about it is it's not just there. There's other places in the United States that are exactly like that.
I know in Oregon, there's the Oregon Vortex where, like, water runs uphill and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how that works or if that's just a optical illusion. But up in my
there's
area,
another one around. Well, there's another one around Sedona.
Oh, I've heard lots of strange things about Sedona. That's where all the, isn't that where all the hippies go to meditate and commune with the ancestors or whatever?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was what was witnessed. When word got out about the Skinwalker Ranch, and they had a big hippie-looking guy that come up to the gate, and he wanted in because he wanted to go meditate. So they took him out there, and they let him meditate, and the people that took him stayed in a truck away from him, but just let him go ahead, do his thing, so he would leave. And they watched that cloaked, that invisible, that's what they were calling it. It was an invisible creature come up out of the brush, out of like nowhere, and run up to this guy, and it just let out the most horrible howl, scream in his face, and it just like blew him over, and it messed him up so bad. And then the thing turned around and ran off. And so they ran to go get him, to pick him up, and he was just like stiff, and he wouldn't let go of him. It frightened him so bad. But they removed him and got him off the ranch immediately.
Yeah, I'd imagine have something like that and end up having to be in a mental institution and witness something like that.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, so, that just questions my whole view on reality.
It does. And it's stuff like they would see their dogs run after something, and they watched the dog take off after something, and then they heard like a great big screech or yelp or something like that. And when they got out there, the dog was gone, and there was nothing but like a greasy spot left on the ground. I mean, there was the dog disappeared.
Dog grease.
Yeah, they had bad things to happen to their animals.
Well, stay away from that area, that's for sure. Well, it looks like we're running out of time here. Of course, it's hard for me to tell because none of the clocks match online or anything. It's so whacked up.
It is 11:02, and it is time for you to go eat.
Oh, it is. I think it's funny how Blog Talk gives me one time. My clock gives me another time. I have no idea when this show actually starts or ends because nothing matches. And there's no way for me to fix it because it's automated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a glitch in the matrix.
Welcome to Blog Talk.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening and putting up with us, our conversation this evening. Unless you have anything else, Maria, I think I'm going to try and force some food down my throat, and hopefully it doesn't make me sicker.
Well, take Peggy off of your desktop and you'll be good.
Oh, she's... Okay, she's gone now. Oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Wow, it was just that. It was the haunted doll image. All right, well, we'll see everybody next week. And do you know what we got going on? Are we just going to do a chat again? Is Sherry back?
I think we're winging it. She told me she's coming back till November.
Oh, let's just wing it.
Yeah.
Why not? We can do whatever we want.
Might as well.
Until we're silenced by the CIA. And the government's decided they've had enough of Paranormal Horizons.
We'll have tacos and tequila next weekend. How about that?
Ooh, taco tequila show, but I don't drink, so I will be tacos and Roy Rogers.
There you go.
All right. Well, wish everybody a safe and fantastic week. Thanks for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And with that, we'll bid you all adieu. Good night, everyone.
Good night.